Well, hello again, boys and girls. We welcome you to another exciting episode of the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. We're first going to introduce Mr. Lucas Wall. He's been on the show with me several times. He lives in the capital of the great United States of America, Washington, D.C., but is currently hanging his hat in Florida. And also another gentleman who has a really cool name, so I'm going to let him pronounce his name for you. He's actually joining in this legal action. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Fasten your seatbelts, get a cup of coffee, cancel your plans for the next 43 minutes, because this will be radio worth listening to. So, Lucas, haven't been on for a few days. You certainly do, because you've been such a great part of this program. How are you doing on this fine day in September?
Relieved to have our huge amended complaint filed in the case against Southwest and six other airlines. We got that literally timestamped at 11:59 p.m. on Monday. it was a Herculean effort. But the way the legal process works in federal court is you get one opportunity to amend your complaint without needing the approval of the judge or the defendants. So after the defendants file their first round of arguments, you have 3 weeks to consider those arguments and determine how you want to proceed with the case. So I determined there was a need, given all the information learned in the last few months since I filed the discrimination case in June, to add 12 new plaintiffs to the lawsuit to make it a proposed class action on behalf of all Americans who have flown during the pandemic and been illegally required to wear masks by these airlines. And we went from 3 violations of the law that we charged the airlines with to 30 violations of the law.
You and I concur on freedom of mask usage and freedom of receiving the shot. On masks, we're 100% agreement. I would say on the shot, we're at least 80%. It's just kind of disturbing, though, that it seems like this medication has minimal effectiveness. In fact, some people are saying it's actually detrimental. And I feel it does affect your natural immunity. But the masks also, it's more clear and convincing. Again, we respect people's decisions if they choose to wear one. What we're saying is respect our decision not to wear one, but also look at the facts, the convincing studies that masks are actually worse than useless. So it's kind of a two-pronged argument. Now, you tried to board a flight earlier this year. You were denied, and you indicated that you had a mask exemption. They told you basically to go pound sand, and that was the basis of your lawsuit. You have added other plaintiffs who've had a similar plight, and on the phone with us is one of those gentlemen. Now, the good thing about this gentleman, he has a really cool name, and you know how much I love language. So guest number two, go ahead and share with our audience the really cool name that you have, and let us know how you got involved as a co-plaintiff with Lucas in this very important matter against the airlines.
Sure, Adam. Thanks for having me on. My name is Cleanthus Andriadakis, basically had been participating in fighting the mask agenda in the public space, learning the laws that governed it from a consumer level, what they could and could not do with businesses, and finding out some interesting things about the ideas of how businesses really are not private. They're public places of public accommodation. And through that, I discovered the article about the lawsuit that Lucas had filed and reached out to him to talk about it, because it was something that I felt passionate about and wanted to be at least in the know on. I didn't know what direction he was going, but I wanted to support it because I don't believe in what's being done to the American public today by these mandates that are not legal. They're not enforceable. They have no capabilities in the legal system to enforce these, but people are being made to believe that, you know, that it's illegal for you to do certain things.
We appreciate.
So basically, that's how I got involved. I reached out and we had a discussion, and things moved forward from there.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us today, Cleon. It's good to have. Hope I'm getting your name right again. It's quite a name, and you say it so well, which we really do appreciate.
Had many years of practice.
Yeah, my name's kind of boring. It was the first name kind of in history, but just isn't as interesting, but that's how we roll here at the Talking Place. WWGH Radio. And you're kind of saying the same thing Lucas and I are saying, in that you have freedom to decide to wear a mask, to get the shot. Basically, keep your laws off my body. But it's compounded by the detrimental effects of masks. And it's a major ADA violation by the government, the same body that enacted this important legislation a while back. And
exactly. It interferes with individuals' ability to go ahead and basically conduct normal business throughout the world. And it, as far as I look at it, it interferes with my right to enjoy a happy lifestyle. For them to be telling me that I have to go ahead and mask, when the people that are telling me don't understand anything about my condition. Yeah. And when I say my, I mean anybody. They don't understand the specifics about anybody's specific conditional needs, medical concerns. And yet we now have a blanket policy that's supposed to be the one-size-fits-all. I call it an illusion of security, coming from a background in security and legal. And that's exactly what they've done, is they've made people believe that they have this magical cure that is going to placate their worries about contracting a viral, the transmission of a virus. And it's not the case at all. I mean, you can't tell me that I could take the side of a pair of ratty jeans and cut a piece of denim off of them and put two pieces of elastic cord on those and put those on my face. I have now a facial covering which will protect me from the virus.
It's totally ridiculous, isn't it?
Right, the whole thing has become so absurd. As we know, there is enough effectiveness of the N95 when they're worn properly. But then we have the issues of the comfort. Designed to be worn for a few minutes at a time while you're painting or doing some other project where they actually will have an effect of some kind. You certainly can't be bartending and wearing one of those. So if you are bartending and wearing a gaiter, the handmade cloth mask, or one of the surgical type masks, the effectiveness is, I guess, almost nothing. And obviously, the hindrances and the problems that they're causing turn that into a very negative effect. And that's an obvious indication that the whole thing is based upon control and about the government wanting to be right. And that's not the United States that we all know and love. And, you know, the issue with the shot, that's a whole other ball of wax. Certainly there, I feel it is a prudent idea for some people, but in many cases, even saying that it's going to be about the same as not getting the shot is being a bit generous, as we're not totally sure about the side effects. And I could speak of people that I know that have been concerned about the side effects that they've received. So we're not questioning that there is a serious disease that is communicable, that is affecting the entire world. It's how they are going about stopping it, ending this problem. They're doing it in the wrong way and causing people to be very angry. And also breaking a lot of their own laws, again, the ADA violations and people's right to privacy and, I guess, out of lack of a better way to say it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now,
exactly. And I guess I've seen countless stories with respect to individuals who have gone to airports with their children, their young children. And me being a parent, my children are a little bit older, but I raised them from the day they were born until now they're in the world. And I know what it's like to have a young child. It can be difficult at times and challenging. And traveling, especially through the air with a young child, is very difficult. In fact, me as a traveler, when I go, I bring a little stuffed animal with me because I know that sometimes it'll help if there's an infant or a toddler who's a bit disruptive, we'll call it, or uncomfortable. But the bottom line is how do you make a 2-year-old keep a mask on their face? How do you make a 3-year-old keep a mask on their face? And why do you penalize that family because of the fact that they're unable to go ahead and keep that mask on the face of a child who doesn't understand what's going on? Right. And then, of course, take that into the disabled class. I mean, why is it up to the airlines to decide, for me, the basis for a medical condition that determines whether I'm able to go ahead and travel with them? I'm not following. I'm having a problem with that whole concept that I've now entrusted my medical care, diagnosis, and treatment to my airline transportation provider and not my medical professional who has certified that I, need to not be wearing a mask.
Yeah, in many
cases. Ridiculous, Adam. One of the new charges we have levied against the airlines is practicing medicine without a license. Because what you have is face masks are described legally as medical devices by the Food and Drug Administration. And what we have going on is that all of the airlines are prescribing to all passengers to wear these medical devices that are either unauthorized by the FDA or authorized only under an emergency use authorization, whose law includes a provision that any person has the right to refuse to use any emergency designated medical device, such as a common face mask. Only N95 respirators are officially approved in the law by FDA for respiratory protection such as this. So we are claiming that the airline employees have no medical license to order passengers to obstruct their breathing, which caused numerous harms to many people based on their different medical conditions, as my co-plaintiff, who I just call Andy for sake of simplicity, so I don't have to try to pronounce his name, has told us. And one thing you just mentioned that's really important and that we stress in our case here is that passengers willingly take on the risk of catching a communicable disease when they buy an airline ticket, knowing they will be squeezed into a metal tube like sardines in a can. If they don't want to take that risk, they have the option not to fly. But they and the airlines don't have a medical license to demand that others suffer to mitigate the fear and anxiety of those who are paranoid about catching COVID-19.
In many cases, doctors agree with us. I would say most doctors, probably because they're pressured by their colleagues and by the health departments, they believe that the masks are beneficial, but many don't. And many would also say that for some people, there's a negative effect, not to mention the emotional effect and the fact that you can't explain to a 2 or 3 year old child why his or her face needs to be covered. That's not a good introduction to the world, maybe in other countries. But in the United States, we like to show our faces, show our expressions. And also, as you're learning language, you communicate.
Well, the situation with children, Adam, is especially egregious, as Andy was just talking about. We have put in our case dozens of examples from media reports of families with children as young as 2 and 3 years old, some who are healthy and some who have conditions such as autism that makes it impossible for them to understand and be able to keep something that is covering their sources of life, their oxygen intake through their nose and mouth. And those people we have all mentioned as being members of the proposed class action because they have been deprived of their constitutional right to travel among the states and among other nations because of the fact that the 2 or 3 year old child with or without special needs can't put an experimental medical device on his or her tiny little face. And beyond the legal issues, it's just so blood-boiling and outrageous, some of the things the airlines have done, banning any person throughout most of last year with any medical condition from taking any flight anywhere in the country because they can't put an experimental medical device on their face. And so we have a potential class of tens of millions of Americans who have been illegally forced to wear a mask on their flights. And we think this could be one of the largest class action lawsuits during the pandemic.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting in the great historic city of Marion, Ohio, but also all over the great world we live in by the power and magic of the Internet, discussing masks, mask mandates, and the transportation industry and the whole thing getting ridiculouser, if that's a word, by the day. I'm speaking with Lucas Wall, who's been on my show a few times and always providing erudite analyses and opinions, definitely more erudite than yours truly. Also, he has filed a lawsuit and spent probably hundreds and hundreds of hours of time writing up documents and preparing. He has over 1,000 pages that he's prepared in this lawsuit against the airlines and their mask mandates, as well as the federal government. In fact, he's even suing President Joseph Biden himself. Today, we're privileged also to have a gentleman who's been on the, this is his first time on the show. We may have him on again because he's been quite interesting so far. He is a co-plaintiff in Lucas's lawsuit, and the gentleman's name is Kleanthis Andriadakis. Pretty good, huh? I got that, got your name down.
I think you did that pretty good, better than I could say it.
Yeah, right? I love language.
Got the gold, gold star for the day.
I love pronouncing things, so it's a hobby of mine. So anyway, Kleanthis, we are pretty impressed by all the paperwork that Lucas has filed. Again, hundreds of hours of time, thousands of actual pages of documents. And he's not a lawyer. He does have experience in government, and he's been around the legal profession most of his life. But quite impressive, wouldn't you say, what he's done with this important case?
I would. I have a legal background. I actually am also a professional investigator, licensed, been that way for, 18 years, I think I'm going on. Worked in and around law and actually did law briefs, legal briefs, did some clerking for a while, and was involved in some pretty comprehensive cases where I had to submit my own documents. And looking at the vast nature of what Lucas has had to do, the research, the investigation, just drafting the complaint alone is an enormous task. Any attorney will tell you that. Any seasoned lawyer will tell you that. So, I mean, he deserves more than just a pat on the back. This is a calling for him. He's an advocate now for the voices out there, the millions of voices out there in the United States that do not have the capability to go ahead and speak up or speak loudly. And that's what I believe, in my opinion, this case really is about, is, you know, it's to be the voice for those that just don't have a voice.
Yeah, I don't have the patience, or I don't think the skills to write up all this documentation, all this paperwork, follow through. So we do take our hats off to Lucas. He's very passionate. And my method of contributing is by broadcasting these shows where people that share my views and have done so much for this important and, I think, growing anti-mask community, which is really more of a common sense community as I see it, to get the word out and understand that this isn't a joke. And as Americans, we have a right to board flights. Lucas has flown many places. He's blogged about it. He's been to Antarctica, Africa, you name it. Many more places than I've been. I can tell you that much. And he has a right to his hobby and life and livelihood. And forcing him to wear a mask, well, I have no other way to say it, but is stupid. It's unnecessary. It's not going to accomplish anything. And in his case, it's going to aggravate conditions that don't need to be aggravated, as it's not natural to sit there with your face muzzled, especially knowing that it's not going to do anything for the intended purpose. Now, Clan, this is your first time on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a frequent traveler to Antarctica, Africa, and other exotic places like Lucas's, or do you kind of stay more in the States like I do?
I would say majority of my travel is domestic. However, I am a dual citizen for both the European Union as well as the United States, and I do travel to Greece. Now is becoming more frequent because family dynamics changes over the years. We have a tie to the country of Greece, and it unnerves me because I technically wanted to go. I wanted to be there this year, and I was not able to go because of all of this nonsense. I wasn't able to travel via air travel to help my son move. He was retiring, being medically retired in the military, and he needed assistance to be able to go ahead and relocate with him and his wife and his daughter. And I wasn't able to travel via air. I had to hop in a car and drive 12 hours through some of the most atrocious traffic in the United States on the East Coast, dealing with, you know, some of the most expensive roadways. And it just was unnecessary when I could have gotten on a plane. I could have been to where I wanted to go in an hour and a half and gotten off and been refreshed and not lost the 12 plus hours of travel time in helping somebody do what they needed to do to get where they needed to be. And for no other reason than ignorance. That's all it is. It's complete ignorance from the airlines to be able to go ahead and deny people the right to travel simply because they have a medical condition which precludes them from being able to board the plane based off of their interpretation of how they want to go ahead and enforce their policies.
Play on this.
And the main issue here, Adam, is, sorry, Adam, it's just want to put in that, you know, the main issue here is this isn't just a group of quote-unquote anti-maskers. 12 of the 13 plaintiffs in the proposed class action now are folks such as Cleanthus and myself who have medical conditions. We have one person who is representing the non-disabled class who objects to being forced to wear a mask, finds it very uncomfortable to obstruct his breathing, and believes masks are completely unnecessary, but does not actually have a medical condition prohibiting it. So we've got those two different classes that are being represented. But in terms of the disabled folks that most of us are, it's kind of a heavy-handed word. It's more that we have medical impairments than that, where people think disabled, you think of people with physical disabilities, but there's all kinds of disabilities. But in any case, I just wanted to touch on the two top charges that we put in the new complaint, and that's conspiracy to interfere with civil rights of the disabled. And essentially, all of the airlines last year at the same time, they conspired to deprive all disabled Americans, which are a protected class under the law, of our civil rights by forbidding us from traveling. And it's absurd to tell people like us that, well, if you can't wear a mask, you can just drive to where you want to go. Well, how is Cleanthus going to visit his family in Greece by driving a car across the Atlantic Ocean? How am I going to do that to visit my brother and his wife who live in Germany? We have a plaintiff who lives in Alaska. If he wants to come visit family in the lower 48, you're saying that he has to make a 3 to 4 to 5 day long road trip during winter conditions on snow and ice packed roads in the remote northern reaches of Canada to get down to the rest of the United States? That's completely preposterous. So we also charge the airlines with violation of our constitutional right to travel among the states and to travel internationally.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with Lucas Wall, who's been on with me a few times, and even with the interviewer and chauffeur to the stars, Scott Spears. That was quite a privilege. You know, Lucas, I also call Scott the chauffeur to the stars because when Ed Asner visited Marion, he picked Ed up at the Columbus Airport. How's that for coolness? So this is quite a radio station that your dulcet tones have the privilege of being on, and it's part of the thing about radio. You never quite know what's going to happen. Now, Cleanthus, have you been denied boarding an airplane like Lucas was?
Or? I haven't been denied. I have not been denied boarding at the airport. However, I was denied the ability to go ahead and travel. I submitted a mask exemption form for Southwest Airlines. I have a doctor's note by a certified medical professional, which states that I should not wear a mask. It's not advised to wear a mask. It can exacerbate my condition and make it extremely difficult to breathe. You know, I have no problem airing my condition. I have a first class American with disabilities defined disability. I have Tourette's syndrome, a little bit different than what people think Tourette's is, though, you know, from the movies.
Tourette's is interesting condition for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And it creates a significant impairment with respect to my ability to communicate and breathe when I'm involved in, you know, in actively ticking or having any type of episode. And then I also have acne mechanica, which is basically a lot of people have acne mechanica. It's a friction on your face causes pimples, and then those pimples develop into something that can be more severe. In my case, it can go into MRSA, and I've had difficulty breathing since I was a child. So, you know, I've got legitimate medical conditions that I can take back to when I was, you know, 5 years old. And for Southwest to require me to, first of all, ask for permission to travel based off of my conditions because I can't throw on a facial covering or a piece of cloth fabric on my face to protect myself or somebody else, supposedly. It's ridiculous and it's illegal. It's specifically called out in the statutes that they cannot require me to go ahead and basically ask for permission in advance, and I don't have to notify them. But then to put me through the process and then deny me, and their basis for denial was the fact that they felt that my condition was not a legitimate disability. And they quote it, says, it's not, the narrow exceptions granted by TSA are not meant to cover persons for whom mask wearing may only be difficult. We regret any disappointment this may cause. And I'm like, it's not difficult. It actually could make me stop breathing, which, you know, in most cases can be fatal. But I'm guessing they know better than I do. And then the follow-up to that was when the complaint was filed with DOT. DOT has a process where they basically send out the complaint to the air carrier for a response. And then the air carrier gets an opportunity to respond to the complaint. And then the response, they basically recited everything that they stated in their denial to me. And then they included federal codes, references to the Code of Federal Regulations, which, of course, federal law. And they said that that was the basis for the denial. But when you go and read that federal law, it actually supports the fact that they can't be doing what they're doing. They can't make these decisions. So, yes, you know, I was denied the ability to travel. Short and simple.
Yeah, I'm just a
goof.
JetBlue, yeah. I had to contact JetBlue through an online portal. I couldn't get in touch with anybody. And I had to have a conversation with them about just the ability to be able to travel, and do I need to submit a medical request, an exemption request prior to travel, which the answer was yes, and then I have to go through a process. And there's no guarantee that I'll be granted an exemption. I won't know until shortly before travel. And the part that bugged me the most as a consumer is the fact that if you're going to put me through this, it's wrong. Yes, I have a problem with it. I have an issue with it. It's illegal. But at the end of the day, are you going to give me my money back? Because it's illegal for you to profit off of something that you don't provide a service for. That's the general basis for most criminal charges in a lot of states. Nope, that's not what JetBlue said. JetBlue says that we're going to take your money, but we'll give you a credit. And if anybody knows the airline industry, I actually worked in the airline industry many years ago. If you know how it operates, the credit that you get is not really a true credit. You just, you know, you get a value that you get to go ahead and apply to a later flight. Well, what if that later flight costs twice as much because of the time of the year that you book, or the time of the day that you book, or the air travel route that you book? So you're not really getting the true value credit. So that bugged me as a consumer, that they can take my money, deny me a service, and then at the end of the day say, well, we're really sorry, Mr. Andrew Dacus, but hey, we look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Yeah, it's really absurd, Adam, with JetBlue. They're the only one of the airlines we have sued and the only one I know of in the country that doesn't even try to describe its absurd, ridiculous, theatrical mask exemption process to its customers on its website. JetBlue says if you might have a medical issue, this is buried in very tiny print somewhere on like the 6 or 7 page you might click through trying to find this info, that you have to contact us for information about applying for an exemption. Keep in mind that even with Biden's transportation mask mandate, it specifically states that the airlines must exempt passengers with medical conditions, and yet they are not doing that. They make getting the information, especially in the case of JetBlue, nearly impossible, and then they tell you that, well, you have to book a ticket first, and then you can ask us for permission to fly. And if we don't agree with you that you have a medical condition, even though we don't have a license to practice medicine, we're going to tell you you can't fly with us, but we're not even going to give you your money back. So we have charged them with breach of contract. We've charged them with fraud, a whole bunch of other tort law claims that go beyond just the discrimination issues against the disabled, but the fraudulent misrepresentations that they are perpetuating on travelers, keeping people's money when they impose a mask mandate that's not in their contract of carriage that you agree to and you buy a ticket. It's just really insane going through the number of violations of the law and contracts that they have committed.
I think the whole course of events indicates that they're just wanting to control you. It's kind of ridiculous. Do you think they were a profit-making company? They want you as a customer. They want you to be happy. They want you to tell your friends and have you all fly with them. But instead, they seem more interested in just controlling and treating you like you're...
Well, it's about, Adam, it's about pandering to the 2/3 of Americans who favor mandatory muzzling. And that's the problem that those of us in the minority on this position have, even though we've put more than 1,000 pages of scientific studies and medical articles, 223 different studies and articles into evidence in our case. This information does not get covered in the media. These studies have been around for decades showing that masks are not effective, even in hospital settings. for preventing the transmission of respiratory viruses because they are not approved medical devices. They are not designed for that purpose. A surgeon's mask is designed to prevent blood and other fluids from splashing up from the patient that he is operating on into his or her mouth. It is not designed to protect teeny tiny little virus droplets that you would need a highly sophisticated microscope to ever be able to see from getting out and past some little piece of fabric and around the sides and out of the top and down the bottom, where obviously the mask is not sealed to your face.
It seems very obvious to me, and the credibility, as I've talked about, the credibility of the medical community, and of course the airlines and the government from the president on down, it's eroding very quickly, and it's really a shame. You like to be, want to think you're proud of this country, proud of the way that it's run, but that's not an easy thing sometimes. Adam, here on the
talk. You make a good point. Sorry, Adam. You make a good point about you would think that the airlines would want to cater to their customers and value their customers and make money by selling tickets, and yet they're excluding an entirely legally protected class, a minority, disabled people, out of their pure profit motivation that if they don't ban people who medically can't wear masks from flying, that they might lose customers who are among the two-thirds who believe in mandatory muzzling, who believe that masks are effective, who have this false sense of security from wearing a mask, who have been indoctrinated by the CDC and President Biden and other folks into making believe that somehow this is contributing to reducing cases. Adam, we're 18 months into the pandemic now, and we've had all of these two-thirds of Americans wearing masks for a year and a half. Why are people still getting coronavirus by the hundreds of thousands every week if these masks stop the virus, as we're being told? How does someone explain that? But yet the airlines see this as, if we don't have a mask mandate, we're going to scare off two-thirds of Americans who believe that these masks work, and so we would rather discriminate against the one-third who are disabled and or don't believe that putting something over your face does anything but obstruct your breathing in order to placate the needs of the paranoid two-thirds. That's the economical issue that we face here in this case.
It seems very convoluted to me. There's no logic there at all. You know, I'm just a goofy chemistry major, but that seems pretty obvious. Also wanted to mention, Cleanthus, is Tourette's definitely would be a disability condition.
It is.
Where?
Yeah, it is. It's a. There's three different definitions of ADA classified disabilities: the first, the second, and the third. And Tourette's is a neurological disorder that's a first definition disability. So it's the highest on the chart. If you open up any ADA book, it's going to be right there, along with, you know, some other pretty high ones out there. It's just unconscionable that these agencies and these companies are thinking that they can promulgate a medical decision upon an individual without having any type of review of their medical condition. One of the parts that also I had an issue with regards to Southwest is the fact that they're supposed to make an independent determination with respect to my condition. And they didn't do that. They never contacted my medical professional. They never interviewed me after I submitted the document to their email portal. No one ever said anything to me other than, okay, great, we got your paperwork, we got your note, and we're really sorry, but you can't fly with us. And that's unfortunate. And another issue, building on what Lucas has said, is that, you know, there are already laws in place to protect the disabled. They've been around for a very long time. There's no question in anybody's mind about how to act during this pandemic, before it or after it. The laws have existed since, you know, quite some time now. So I think the 50s and 60s. So why is there such a big question in the minds of the air carriers about how they need to be treating people with that have a disability and have to wear or aren't able to wear a mask? There shouldn't be a question at all. The law is clear. It's spelled out in two different federal regulations, one for ACA and one for ADA. ACA applies to the air carriers, but, you know, it builds on everything from the American with Disabilities Act. But the airlines are well aware of what the law says. They've been practicing it up until the point of the pandemic when they decided to toss it out the window and say, okay, we're just going to go with what we're being told to do, and we're not going to do what we actually have a legal obligation to do.
They're not following any reasonable or logical protocols whatsoever. I don't understand.
No, they're not.
I don't understand.
So it's interesting. Kleanthis just mentioned the ACA, the Air Carrier Access Act. Most people don't know that that predated the Americans with Disabilities Act. So that's why the airlines are exempted from the ADA, because they have their own separate law. We have 13 different violations of the Air Carrier Access Act we've charged them with. We've also found an interesting additional argument that there's a 1973 federal law called the Rehabilitation Act. It was the first federal law passed to protect the rights of disabled Americans. And that law was passed to protect the disabled from discrimination in federal employment and also in employment and workplace promotional opportunities for people with disabilities who work for private companies who receive federal funding, and that was later applied to state and local governments who receive federal aid, and then it was expanded later to go beyond employment to other equal protection issues. But one thing we learned is because the airlines accepted bailout money from Congress last year through one of the COVID-19 emergency relief bills, that has subjected the airline industry, which typically is not federally funded, to the Rehabilitation Act, and that gives us an additional cause of action in our lawsuit for enforcing all of these federal regulations under the other act, the Air Carrier Access Act. So that's 14 charges there, 2 on conspiracy, 1 on breach of contract, 9 on tort law, including battery. We have a plaintiff who suffered unwanted touching by a Delta flight attendant while he was sleeping because his mask slipped below his nose, despite the fact he already was approved for a medical exemption by Delta, and yet the flight attendants on the plane refused to accept it, and then essentially did simple assault on him by shaking him and unwantingly touching him by waking him up while sleeping to put his mask back over his nose. We charged him with violating the constitutional right to travel, as I mentioned, and then there's also 3 international treaties that protect the rights of disabled in travel and transportation. And so we've put those in there as well. One of the 3 is not ratified by the U.S., unfortunately, but it's ratified by 188 countries, almost everyone on Earth. And so we apply that to the international flights that these U.S. carriers have to those other countries where that treaty is binding international law.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Just a few minutes left here, speaking with Kleanthis Andriadakis. See, I got that perfect this time. And Lucas Wall, not as interesting of a name, but easier to say. Discussing Lucas's lawsuit, where Kleanthis is a co-plaintiff against Southwest Airlines, other airlines, and also a separate lawsuit against the government, including President Joseph Biden himself. Lucas, we would agree that there's 2 things here. First, the ADA violation. It's obvious Tourette syndrome or mask anxiety, which I certainly have myself. People with those conditions should not be muzzling their face. But moreover, nobody should, because they don't work. N95s might, if worn properly, except most people, that's not what they wear. And there are detriments of mask wearing, which, again, make them worse than nothing at all. So we have a two-pronged approach here. And you've cited in your legal documents, and we've published this online, over 100 studies showing masks have minimal effectiveness. If not, they're worse than nothing at all.
Yeah, we're up to 223 studies and articles now, Adam, and folks can find all that on my blog, www.lucas.travel, lucas.travel. There's a nice press release posted there with links to the 227-page lawsuit we filed on Monday, and you can also download all of the 525 exhibits, including the 223 medical articles and scientific studies showing that A, masks are not effective in reducing transmission of respiratory viruses, and B, there are dozens of medical harms that are caused by mask wearing, including facial acne and other dental and facial deformities that can occur from long-term facial covering.
You would agree, Lucas, again, it's a two-pronged approach. A, masks, again, not a lack of a better term, are stupid. I wish I could be a little more intellectual sounding, but I'm so aggravated by this, that's what comes out of my mouth. And they're an ADA violation. Would that be I know it's not the most scientific way to say it, but that would be an accurate assessment, that there are two things going on here.
Yeah, that boils it down. That's why we have the two proposed class actions, one on behalf of disabled people who have been discriminated against in violation of the Air Carrier Access Act. Remember, the ADA doesn't apply to airlines, and the Rehabilitation Act and international treaties. And then we have this other issue that we've charged the airlines with what's called reckless endangerment for passengers who are not disabled and who are being forced to have a muzzle on their face, obstructing their breathing. That can cause incredible oxygen deprivation, which creates thousands of fights on flights that we have been seeing during the pandemic, of people who take their mask off so they can get some actual clean breaths and restore their normal oxygen balance, and then someone else screams at them, or a flight attendant assaults them and tries to force their mask back on them. The airlines have created a dangerous situation in the air. There's chaos in the skies right now. Every day another viral video comes out of an altercation on board a plane with people fighting over masks. And that's all based on scientific evidence. This is not just, you know, drunk people going crazy. When you deprive your brain of oxygen by blocking your sources of breathing, that has instant enormous effects on people's functioning. And we are going to fight for the disabled people who are being discriminated against, who can't wear a mask. We're also fighting for the other class of people, which is everyone else who's an airline passenger who's not disabled and is being ordered to put on a device that blocks their breathing in violation of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, forcing them to wear an unapproved medical device against their consent.
Want to thank?
Yeah, let me add something to that. Just briefly, and kind of touching on something that we did cover in the suit briefly, but there's other issues as well. I mean, outside of the scope of the documents that we filed, do you realize that every single employee who works in the airlines, every stewardess, flight attendant, whatever the proper term is these days, every pilot who flies on the plane, they're wearing a mask, and I'm pretty certain that they all have not complied with OSHA requirements for the wearing of a mask as an employer. Every single one of those employees can go ahead and they can challenge that, because they're required to do a fit test. They're required to have an industrial hygienist go ahead and evaluate them. They're required to have a medical evaluation by a medical professional. It's CFR 1910, I think, that 134. So these are things that are happening, and they're happening in the workplace too. So, you know, this goes well beyond the argument about masking on an airline. But that's the challenge that we're fighting right now. There's plenty of other issues to go around that other people can take up and bring into the workspace, and we hope to do.
Quick thing, Adam, I know we're running short on time, but following up on this point about airline employees, we had a flight attendant from American Airlines share us internal documents explaining that pilots are exempt from wearing masks in the cockpit because they are a danger to the safety of aviation, because they deprive the pilots of sufficient oxygen and could slow down their reaction time in emergency. So take that irony right there. The airlines know that masking creates a danger to aviation. They know it. It's documented. Yeah. We have the evidence.
Don't you just love the hypocrisy? Well, on that note, I think if that doesn't convince people, I don't know what will. I mean, I was already convinced, but that's just downright aggravating. And so before I start using words that are not permitted on the radio, because that's how I feel right now. I knew that, but it's aggravating and completely inexcusable. And I appreciate when people stand by their opinions, even if they're not consistent with mine. But guys, I cannot stand hypocrisy. And that's hypocrisy with a capital H. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
I want to thank Lucas Wall, who's been with us before and will be with us again, because he's such a great guest. And our other special guest, Cleondas Andriadakis, who also hangs his hat on the East Coast of the great United States of America. Thank you, gentlemen, again for being on the show. An excellent program. We've discussed updates on the lawsuit and just our philosophies about how this thing is getting more ridiculous by the day. And it's not a good ridiculous.
Always a pleasure, Adam.
Adam, here on the Talking Place.
Thank you so much, Adam, for taking the time.
No problem. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Excellent, excellent commentary. Here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio.